Romans 12, starting in verse 9, the Bible says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Have you ever had a time, even though you're in the church, where you just feel lonely? Have you ever felt like, you know what, my relationships in the church, they're just not as close as I would like them to be? Now, perhaps you're new to the church, and so, you know, therefore you're just starting new relationships, and so you don't necessarily feel as close as you could be. Perhaps you had some friends that you were more close to than the ones that are here, but now they've moved on because a lot of people have moved in the last year and moved away. And so you might feel a little bit lonely because you miss them. Perhaps you've just been in a time of life where you've just been really busy. And a mix of being really busy and maybe not just always making the best choices you could make when it comes to building relationships. And you find yourself like, I'm just not as close as I could be. I remember a sister sharing like a year or two ago. She said, we call our groups family groups, but sometimes it doesn't really feel so much like a family to me. Maybe you feel that way as well. And if you do, the good news is this. Jesus definitely wants us to be close to one another. That's why Romans 12 says what it says, that love must be sincere, that we need to be devoted to one another in love, that we are to honor one another above ourselves. And so Jesus wants us to be close, and Jesus has provided you with absolutely everything you need to have close relationships in the church. He wants you to have victory in this area. And the most powerful word there is the word you. Because I think sometimes we look at our family group and we go, our family group is not so close. I wish my family group was more close. And we don't say, I am not close to the members of my family group. The church, Frederick Church, isn't as close as it should be. But we don't say, I am not as close as I should be with my brothers and sisters in the Frederick Church. The thing that's very powerful about this is the word you. Jesus has provided you with everything you need to be able to have close, awesome friendships in the church. And I just remember back when I was in Boston. I had been in Boston for like 4 years. I was part of a very large church. We had like 4,000 members of the church. I was single at the time. There were 1,200 people in the singles ministry and 750 in the campus ministry. Essentially close to 2,000 single people in the church. And I remember just having this sense, I don't really feel very close to anybody. I just don't think I don't feel like I have any close friends. Yeah, I was literally surrounded by thousands of disciples who are all pretty much one in mind and heart as far as our beliefs and our faith. But I was not feeling close. And at that time, I had to make a decision. I had a choice to make. There's usually two different kinds of responses that we have in this situation. One is I could have chosen to just sin. I could have just thought, you know what? I'm lonely. I have all these people around and I'm not close to them. I could have sinned, for example, by becoming bitter towards the church around me. Why am I here and I've been coming here all this time and yet I don't have any really great friends? I could have sinned by doing that. I could have sinned by taking my responsibility and placing it upon everyone else. Because believe me, if I'm lonely and I'm not close to people in the church, then it's because I am not making relationships with people in the church. I could have sinned by blaming it on my church leader. That's the reason why I'm not close. But even a reality is I'm the only one who can build close relationships for myself in the church. My church leader cannot do this for me. I could have sinned by going and finding a non-Christian girlfriend to keep me company and to get close to. I could have sinned by getting involved in immorality because of just feeling lonely and not close to anyone in the church. There's all kinds of ways that I could have sinned. And I know that's a big temptation for us when we don't feel close to people. But there was another option I had as well. The other option was I could turn to Jesus and I could learn from him. That's what he said, right? You know, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. I could turn to Jesus. I could say, Jesus, I do not have any close, good friends. I'm not really happy, satisfied with the relationships I have in the church. You know, will you teach me and show me how to build good friendships in the church? And in that particular case, by God's grace, that's what I chose to do. With God's help, it is possible for us to do anything that God calls us to do. And if right now you're feeling lonely, and if right now you're feeling like you don't have close relationships in the church, then God has provided everything that you need to know to be able to have them. Today I'm just going to share a few scriptures, just some things that we can do in order to help deepening and build our relationships with one another in the church. The first one comes from John chapter 13, so please turn in your Bible there. John chapter 13. It says in John 13, 13 through 15, this is Jesus speaking right before he was going to be crucified. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now look down a little bit further on verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What was the thing that Jesus did to show love and to build love? He served. He took time to serve. One of the greatest things that any one of us can do to start deepening our friendships, building closer friends in the church, if we're part of a family group, to build a closer, more tight family group, more loving family group, one of the greatest things that we can do is decide, I'm going to serve these people. Serving is something that binds us together. Another great thing that we can do with service is we can allow people to serve us. Both of those things are true. Some of us are more inclined to serve others. Some of us are more inclined to let people serve us. And some of us are more inclined not to serve or let people serve us. But the truth of the matter is that to build close friendships with somebody, you've got to be able to serve and be served. And that takes a little bit of sacrifice and a little bit of time. But every good friendship requires some sacrifice and some time. So step number one, start serving people. You start serving people, allowing people to serve you, your relationships will grow and become stronger. Number two, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Please turn there in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The second thing for building a close relationship is to encourage somebody. Now, hear what I'm saying. We move around a lot in our lives. This is a very mobile society. We have people move in. We have people move out. A lot of us probably don't live exactly where we grew up. Maybe some of us do live where we grew up. We may have people that we've known for 30, 40 years, and we're close to them. What we're talking about is how do we intentionally build close, meaningful relationships in our church family right here. Say you just moved here. How do I do it? Well, one thing is to encourage people. You know, most of the time, people will not run away from you if you're a very encouraging person. If they know when they see you, they're going to get encouraged, they're most likely to find you in the fellowship. They're going to be looking around. Let me find that person. Let me go fellowship with that person. Whenever I fellowship with that person, they build me up. They encourage me. They always, you know, have some faithful thing to say. And so they'll come looking for you. Encouragement is one of the most powerful ways that we can build friendships with one another. We are already filled with so much negative stuff going on all the time. You know, everything we're hearing on the news, what people talk about at work, what they talk about at school, the stuff we think in our own minds about ourselves, the discouraging things that we run through our own heads. All of us need a tremendous amount of encouragement. And to build close relationships in any group, it requires a lot of encouragement. So are you taking time to encourage? You see, already as we're sort of building on this, one of the things that you might come to realize is that there's stuff for you to do. If you're going to be close to people, you're going to not just get to go do whatever you want for yourself all the time. Your life is not going to just be able to be about you, your job, your money, your entertainment. You're going to have to think about other people, spend time with other people, invest in other people. And if you don't, you're never going to be close to anybody. You have to have these things to encourage one another. So the third thing is forgiveness. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Please turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. My wife and I, we're very close. I mean, I adore my wife. And but we have irritated each other many times in our lives. I mean, I've done things to hurt Martha's feelings. She's done things to hurt my feelings. We've done different things that are anything from like really mean to just annoying in each other's, in our relationship with one another. And if we didn't have forgiveness, we would be divorced. There's no way we'd be together if we didn't have forgiveness. I mean, forgiveness is at the center of it. You know, my wife would have left me a long time ago if she did not have forgiveness in her heart. The ability to forgive me. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And then we're going to read chapter 5, verse 1. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. This is one of the most... It's very rare to find a scripture that has this phrase, follow God's example. I'm not saying they're not there. There are several really strong passages about this. But in the area of forgiveness, the Bible says, follow God's example. And this is really, really helpful. Because every single one of us knows that if God does not forgive me, it's all over for me. Okay? My life is going to stink and my eternity is going to be worse. If God does not forgive me, I have no hope. I desperately need God's forgiveness. And thank God, He gives me His forgiveness. Now, I don't do anything to earn God's forgiveness. And I'm constantly doing lots of things that are offensive to God. I don't even know what they are half of the time. And sometimes when I know what they are, I do them anyway. Thank God for His forgiveness. The Bible says, follow His example. There's no way you're ever going to have a close relationship with anybody if you don't learn to forgive people just like Christ has forgiven us. The reason why that's powerful is because Christ has no reason to forgive me. Like, there's no criteria. He didn't set it up like, well, you know, I'll forgive you if this, I'll forgive you if that, I'll forgive you if the other. No, He just went and died on the cross. No matter what, if you're never going to pay any attention to Him, or you're going to devote your life to Him, or you're going to hate Him or speak against Him, He still died on the cross for us. That's the point that this scripture is making. I have a motivation as a Christian that Jesus forgave me, even though I didn't do anything to earn or deserve that forgiveness in my life. And you need to have this kind of forgiveness if you're ever going to have a deep relationship. Sometimes people who hurt us are going to recognize that they hurt us. They're going to give a proper apology. And it's going to feel good that they gave the proper apology. And it's going to be easy for us to forgive. Other times, they're just not going to be able to see what they did or be able to see eye to eye, or they're going to be prideful and not humble, and they're not going to give us the apology we're looking for. And sometimes we just have to overlook an offense. Just forgive people and overlook the offense. These are all things that are all part of forgiveness. And one of the things that I really want to help the church with here. Now we have some teens here. A lot of the teens are gone. We have parents of teens here. But this is what I see happen at times. Sometimes our kids don't get along with each other. And what the parents tend to do is, instead of helping and facilitating the kids working on their relationship and getting through the stuff they need to get through, the parents help the kids just go find other friends. And then you just have like these little cliques in the church. And it's just strange because that teen doesn't like that teen. And that parent's mad at that parent because their teen doesn't like their teen. This actually happens here in this church. This is a fact, not an opinion. This is wrong. And this is not God's plan. And so we need to embrace forgiveness. There should never be somebody over on the other side of the room that we don't like, we don't get along with, or that we don't talk to, or that our kids don't like, get along with, or talk to. We need to follow Jesus' plan. Otherwise, eventually, we're going to just run out of friends, because sooner or later, you're going to get annoyed by everybody, and everyone's going to get annoyed by you too. Forgiveness is the key, one of the keys, to having meaningful relationships in the church. Here's another one. Learn to go deep in your relationships. Learn to go deep. I'm only going to talk about three things about going deep, but there are many scriptures. But I'm only going to talk about three because of time. The first one is Ephesians 4:25. Look what it says over here in Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Part of going deep is to speak truthfully to one another. Sometimes the reason why we end up getting bitter and then relationships grow apart is because we lie to one another. We have people we're close to, and we don't tell the actual truth about how we feel about something. We think we're just going to ignore it and blow it off, and it's all going to just go away. And in the end, what happens instead is we become bitter. And sooner or later, these people we were getting close to, or were close to, we're not still getting close to them. We're not close to them anymore. And we just move on. Because bitterness creeps up because we were not truthful about how we really felt about things. There's other ways to speak truthfully too. Just speaking truthfully about how I'm actually doing in my life. Letting people know what's going on. That's why I appreciated Lewis so much in the communion, because he was speaking truthfully about his own struggles. You know, just letting us know his own struggles. Speaking truthfully to one another is part of going deep. Confessing our sins and praying for one another is part of going deep as well. Let's look at James 5:16. I think a lot of times we think confessing our sins is going to tear our relationships apart. The truth is, the exact opposite is what happens. When we confess our sins, it binds our relationships together. In James 5:16, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And 17 is pretty intense. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. You see the point he's trying to make here? He's trying to make the point. Elijah was not a super dude. He was regular, just like you. In other words, Elijah's prayer, being a regular guy, he could pray for it not to rain, and in the circumstances it was in, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And what James is trying to say is, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So we confess our sins to one another and we pray. A lot of us are not overcoming sin because we aren't telling people what our sin is, and we're not letting the prayers of those righteous people be powerful and effective in our life to give us the ability to overcome the sin. We're just going to try to suck it up ourselves and figure out, well, we've been trying to overcome this sin for years. We need people to pray about our sin to help us overcome. And sometimes we just decide that that sin is part of my character or part of who I am. It's because I'm Irish or I'm Welsh or I grew up in California or I grew up in New York or wherever I grew up. This is why I have this sin. No, that's not why you have that sin. That might have influenced you to be sinful. God's trying to work in your life to keep changing and growing, okay? You can overcome. But the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. And this is what we all need. We need people praying for us to help us overcome. And that is part of going deep. Look at Galatians 6, verse 1. This is pretty awesome. Galatians 6, verse 1 addresses this. It says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." Now, let me just explain something here. Don't interpret this as someone is caught in a sin, as they were running around hiding their sin, and someone caught them. That's not what it means. It means they're caught up in a sin. It's like they're entangled in a sin. Imagine someone throwing a net over your head. And the more you kick around, the more you get entangled into the net. And you can't get out of the net. You're caught in the net. That's what it's talking about. You get entangled in the sin, and you can't get out of the sin. And so what do you need? Brothers and sisters to come over there and get you out of that net. Amen. But just be careful that you don't get caught up in the sin yourself. Whether it's that sin or other sins, like gossip, or like the sin of looking down on your brother who's been open about his sin and seeking your help. You see what I'm saying? Or you're like, well, he's sinning, so maybe I'll sin too. You know, don't get caught in the same sin or other sins. But we're supposed to be there to help each other get out of the sins that we have in our life. That's what it's teaching in the book of Galatians. We're taking it deep with one another. Carrying one another's burdens is part of taking it deep. That's what Galatians 6 verse 2 says. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, sometimes the reason actually why we're lonely and not close to anybody is because when we're close to people, we have to carry their burdens. They're going to tell us about the hard stuff, the bad stuff, the ugly stuff. And there's a lot of emotional energy that goes out. There's a lot of emotional energy. And I think for a lot of us, we just either feel we don't have any emotional energy to put out for somebody else, or we're just too selfish and we don't want to put the emotional energy out. You know, we'd rather use all of our energy playing our entertainment instead of loving people and carrying one another's burdens. Here's the good thing about it, though. If you are willing to go deep and you are willing to carry other people's burdens, you do not have to rely on your own strength. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God gives you the compassion that you need so that compassion can be passed on to your brother and sister in Christ. And I think this gets at to a big root of going deep. A lot of the reasons why we don't feel like we can go deep with people is because we are not going deep with God, and we're not being fed by Him and encouraged and built up by Him. As soon as I start noticing distance between me and other people in the church, I know what that means. Hate to say it, but it's true. It means that I have a distance between me and God. The distance is forming between me and God, and therefore the distance is forming between me and you. That's how it happens. My priorities have changed. I started investing in the world and things of this world. I started loving things of this world. I stopped investing in the kingdom, and my heart goes wherever my investments go, and therefore I'm not close to you, and I will not go deep with you. The last one is be consistent. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13. The last thing about building a deep relationship with your brothers and sisters in the church. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Now, this verse here, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is going to let you find out how serious you are about this right now. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold to our original conviction firmly to the very end." I just want to ask you something. If the idea of encouraging one another daily just seems completely foreign to you and overwhelming to you, like, what? I'm actually going to, like, talk to Christians every day? I'm going to have some people that I call and encourage on a daily basis with my life and everything I got to do. If you feel that way, guess what? Your priorities are not the same as the ones Jesus has given you in the Bible. Change your life. To be a Christian requires us to change our life. Okay? You're not going to love people in the way that Christ loves people. You're not going to build a church that reflects the love of Christ and act like everybody else in America. We have to change our life to love like Christ. We have to change our schedule, our priorities, our timing. We have to sacrifice. We might make a little less money, have a little less recreation. We must invest of our time and our energy in relationships. It says every day, doesn't it? Encourage one another daily. It also says, see to it. I mean, is there anybody that you feel like, man, I'm going to make sure that that person doesn't drift away. I'm going to see to it that this doesn't happen to them. No way. You know, because I am personally going to take responsible for caring about those people. This is what the Bible actually calls us to do. We've read so many books about boundaries. And boundaries are good. But I fear that in the church, the boundaries are set so far that it starts becoming non-Christian. We have learned all the boundaries, but we have forgotten about the see to it and to lay down your life to one another and to put others before yourself and to be devoted to one another and to encourage one another daily. But these are what the scriptures say. This is Christianity. This is Christianity. And so, there I was in Boston, drifting from God and not close to anybody, surrounded by 4,000 disciples, having a choice to make. Was I going to sin or was I going to turn to Jesus? And with God's help, in that case, He helped me to turn to Jesus. Amen. And I decided, I'm just going to pick 5 brothers. Don't ask me how I came up with the number 5. I'm going to pick 5 brothers who I'm not particularly friends with, but I'm going to make them friends. And even if they don't try to make me their friend, I'm going to force them into it. I'm going to be irresistible. They will not be able to not be my friend because I'm going to be such an awesome friend to them that they're going to not be able to resist my friendship. This is what I decided to do. 5 brothers. This one brother loves sandwiches. I always call them up. Hey, let's go get a sandwich. I'll show up at his house with sandwiches. I even learned how to make pies because this other brother liked pies. I don't know how to cook any pies. I learned how to make pies. I used to show up to this brother's apartment and deliver pies to him. I spent a lot of time, you know, just sacrificing, learning what would encourage them, learning how to do these things, serve, encourage, forgive, go deep, be consistent, all those things. And then 5 years after making that decision, I didn't even live in the same city. I didn't even live in the same state. I moved from Boston, Massachusetts. I lived in Silver Spring, Maryland. College Park, Maryland is where I live. But 5 years later, after making that decision, 3 of them were groomsmen in my wedding. Because, you know, God's word works. And this is what's so encouraging to me. No matter where you're at right now, if you're not feeling close, if you're not feeling that people are as close as they can be or could be, you get to do something about it. The rest of the church doesn't have to do anything about it. You can do it. You can be close. All you have to do is serve them, encourage them, forgive them, go deep with them, and be consistent with them. Let God work, and God will make it happen. So, if you're feeling distant and not close, I just give you this charge. It's time to get up and get going. Thank you very much.